welcome to this episode of Why Powers Tales from the Superyacht Laundry. And this episode I am joined by Ella Peters, who is the Superyacht Nanny. Thank you for coming on.
Hello, it's very lovely to be here, and yes, excited to chat with you.
So we, obviously, Pearls of Wisdom is about the journey out. So obviously I've become aware of you, and you're kind of half in, half out, would you say, at the moment?
Yeah, I'm definitely on the border of in and out. And well, I think a big element is that Yacht Nanny is so seasonal. It only exists in school holidays. And so...
So you're a little bit of both at the moment. So let's probably start at the beginning. How did you get on boats?
I was always going to work on boats. I think it was kind of just like I grew up sailing on the river every weekend. My little topper Tassie. And then
where was that?
In Suffolk, so like east of England, an hour out from London. And then had always been aware of yachting, had a family friend that lived down on Tube working in the industry, and yeah, it kind of happened quite organically. I actually, for my 18th birthday, got the Blue Water under 18s package. I'm not sure if they still do it, but it was your like SDCW radio license, powerboat level 2, PWC.
I didn't realise that they did that.
I actually saw someone comment on a Facebook group the other day about it. I think it still exists, and at the time it was €1,000 for the 2 weeks of everything.
It won't be that anymore.
Well, definitely.
It'll be a lot more expensive.
Definitely, but it was so great. So basically, finished school. 2 weeks after that, I was on Tube doing that, doing my SCCW, and then started out as a soul stew without really knowing what I was up to. I mean, I'd always done like high-end childcare through college and things, and I'd worked at the pub and done like weddings and events and things like that. So I, you know,
so
I did have some foundations.
Yeah,
exactly. So then I was, a soul stew, and then onto a 40-meter, where I was second stew. I was also only, there was also only two stews on board, so yeah, cool, I was second stew, but I was also only two. And I also claimed the title Chase Boat Captain, because I used to drive the tender between anchorages and into port sometimes, so yeah, really enjoyed that. But anyway, I'd always, my favourite part was always the childcare side of things, organising treasure hunts, doing a bit of babysitting and interacting with the little guests. So... yeah, like, I really love kids and really love working with them. Brings me a lot of joy and satisfaction, I'd say.
So when you think back to going into the yachting industry, like, what were your first impressions, like, getting on board? Like, what was... Can you remember how you felt about...
I remember thinking people were strange, because I made smoked salmon carbonara almost every day for a month for a pair of guests, and it was... I was like, this is really not my cup of tea, but okay, they're clearly enjoying it. So I thought, yeah, people are strange.
Kind of like, carbonara every day for a month. That's a lot of cream.
In the heat, isn't like I would go for some salads or I don't know, some Asian...
not even salad on the side, just carbonara.
No, just carbonara for lunch as well, and I think that's quite a heavy lunch, but whatever.
And you're on holiday, I suppose you can
do whatever you like, you know. If that brings you joy, go ahead and do it. I'm not going to stop you.
That's a lot of cream, though. I'm just, you know, putting that out there. But you're like, were you... It sounds like you had quite a lot of confidence when you were kind of even starting out.
I think I can convey confidence quite well, and very conscious. Yachting is a yes industry, and I will give things my very best shot and hope a little bit for the best, but also calculated guesstimates of things, and most of the time they work out, and then sometimes you have to say, okay, this didn't go quite how I thought it was going to go. Obviously this doesn't apply if you're doing something unsafe or dangerous or daft, don't do those things, but there's, yeah, if you're 50, there's a really good quote from Stephen Bartlett about this: if you're 51% sure or feeling it's a good thing, go for it. And
51%, that's all you need.
Which isn't actually that much.
But
you've got to be at least over the fence.
Over the fence. Like, yeah, I would say that is definitely not that much, really. I'm probably more of at least a 60% kind of girl.
I think it is different when you're actually directly working with children, because there's so many complicated elements at play and safety is so important. But so when it's making like a smoked salmon carbonara, if you're 51% sure you can do it, give it a go.
So were you involved in children from your very first role on board?
No, actually, that wasn't. There was no kids on board when I was a sole stew. But then from then on, after, yeah, kids.
So is that something you added to your CV?
I didn't ever pitch myself as a stew nanny. I just worked on a really, really family-friendly boat. And I think a good way you can tell how family-oriented a yacht is by their water sports and what toys they have on board. Because you just get the feeling of like, okay, this is set up for little people. And it's really designed, like it's, I mean, I've seen one or two boats with a nursery or a creche, not really a creche, more a nursery. But that's like 80 metre plus, and that doesn't really happen often.
What was the first boat that you worked on where you were probably kind of what, 50-50 nanny, stew, or what? How did you get into the nanny bit?
Let me get there. So I was just a full-on stew for a couple of years, absolutely loved it, and then I got the feeling that I'd like to go to university. I'd been deferring a place at Coventry to do disaster management, but it always felt too much
disaster management.
Too much of like the contingency planning direction. So then anyway, I found a course in the Netherlands, which is the simplified version of it is sustainable fashion production.
Right.
Super cool, completely in line with my other passions in life, which is
how do you go from disaster to fashion? Like,
well, it was international development management with a major in sustainable value chains and a minor in textiles engineering. So that's a really big mouthful. So if you just say sustainable fashion production, everyone kind of understands it a bit better, and it is actually what I did.
Right.
So I went to uni, and then I got an offer for an old chief stew who was a beast of recruit for London prep households. She found me this opportunity, and it was super cool. It was ticking every box, like a 2-week charter, four children, only had to look after the littlest. Really, really everything was ticking my boxes. The only problem was it was during the final exams of the year at uni, which you obviously need to pass to get into second year. So I went to the dean, very stressed, saying, I'd love to come to, you know, be in second year, but I need to pay for it. But also, if I don't do the exams, I can't get in. So what should I do? And blah, 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 blah. I'm very worried about it. And he said, Ella, I do not understand why you're stressed. This is very simple. You unsubscribe from the exams, you do the job, you come back, you do reset week, and you do not fail, and you're in. And I did that, and it worked perfectly.
Oh.
And this is a very high-profile family that then have booked me regularly since. The only problem with working with children is they grow up and they no longer need a nanny, which is a really sad reality. But that kind of kick-started the specific yacht nannying for like charters for... And then what I do a lot of now is families put their full-time nannies on holiday leave, and then they'll hire someone like me for the charter, and then, we go from there.
Could you share some of the unique challenges and rewards of being a nanny on a super yacht? Like, it's going to be, you know, yachts I've worked, obviously I've been on a yacht, it's pretty dangerous, generally, for you know, it's not that dangerous for adults, technically. But children, like, the whole thing
goodness.
Is, like, the worst environment. Sharp edges, slippery floors, a lot of white everywhere.
Could just fall and drown. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let's put some vases out. Oh.
And some nice art and some little sculptury things and table decorations that you could just fling on the floor that are glass. The first funny thing that I hadn't anticipated was how little people get stuck everywhere because they're all fire doors and they can't open the doors by themselves. So you have to
be so heavy.
Yeah, so you have to be really careful with them going to the bathroom and things because they just get stuck. and then you hear, Ella, help! And it's really, got to be careful of that. So
fingers like, in big doors. Oh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Or like at night time I often leave a towel in the door at bedtime just so when they're getting settled they can actually open it a bit and squeeze through. Because obviously I'm sitting just on the other side of the door. But And then in terms of actual safety, it's really dangerous. And so swimming in the sea, obviously a particularly dangerous activity, but it is really fun. So my first, like, I don't know, tips would be don't put them in blue swimwear because it's hard to see them. If you put them in something bright yellow or orange or something, they're so much more visible.
Mm.
So if something happens, you see it a lot quicker. And drowning is actually a very quiet thing, so it's not loud and flailing and screaming. It's quiet, so you really need to pay attention. And then to super clearly communicate who is watching who. Because often, like, the captain will come down to the swim platform, or there's some deck crew watching the guests, and then, or maybe I've then gone inside with one child because they've got a bit cold and need to go and get warmed up. So it's really clear who's looking after who, who's watching who. So that avoids that. And then, yeah, no children unattended. And there's more and more captains who are imposing this rule, which I'm completely on board with. Pardon the pun. because. Yeah, you need to know where they are because you don't know if you have a man overboard if you don't know.
I think that's probably the tricky thing. So obviously having a child that's nearly four, you know, we're getting further away from the constant near-death experience. You know, like you have to be not in sea necessarily, not only in the same room, but literally with them all of the time.
And just seeing every single...
And then, obviously, as she's getting older, at the distance on land, like, obviously, I can see what she's doing, but on board, you've got, you know, can you give them that much space? Because,
not really.
You know, if you're sitting there and they're, like, messing with the railing, you know, like, it's not...
Or, like, boys are always interested in the anchor. And it is so, so dangerous. So normally we just have a no children on the bow unless really attended. Like, I'll put that they have to be with crew because then it makes an extra layer of, okay, cool, you want to go there? Let's go and find a deckie or somebody who can take us there. And then I just play it that I'm not allowed to go there without crew either, so.
Obviously, yeah. The welfare of children and their safety is, like, paramount. How, obviously you're seeing it from your job role, so like a nanny, how do crew adapt to having a small person on board?
How do crew adapt to having a nanny on board? It's also an interesting one because crew do not like nannies or maternity nurses often because they cause havoc, they make things complicated, but you truly can do it in ways that make the whole experience
better. What do you mean they cause havoc and make things complicated?
Oh, they're divas, they like... I've got chief stew friends who are like, yeah, I'm a maternity nurse. She was still cruising around in pyjamas with her out underwear on at 12 noon. And I said, please, mate, put a bra on. You're working. Let's get dressed. What's that about? I don't know. They think they're on holiday. Sorry, we can't look after the kids right now. We're having a massage. I personally never had a treatment on board because
so
I'm not...
So is that... There's a clash of roles. So, like, potentially the nannies come on board and they're like, well, I'm a bit on holiday too,
yeah.
So I'll lean into the crew to do bits of my job, would you say? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, kind of. And also, crew are the kind of people who want to create the best possible experience, so they offer things, often without having really thought through the whole implications of it. And if you give too much of a guest experience to a nanny who's actually there working, it blurs the lines and it makes things a bit tricky. But there's truly ways to make it really work for everyone. But everyone needs to be on board with that.
Would you say it's worth kind of, before a nanny comes on board, really understanding, you know, what you should do? Is there any information out there? Like, if you're a teacher...
Funny that you ask. I've got a guide on this.
I know it didn't exist in my day, and I had a few nannies on board. Some were fine. Some were great. Some looked really scared most of the time. Like, I had a nanny on board, and I don't know whether she was getting paid or whether they'd imported her from somewhere.
There's also some really big problems, and then some nationalities are considered flight risks because their working conditions are so terrible. We're now getting to the realms of, like, modern slavery. But their conditions are so bad, they are known for just running, like, no money,
once
no passport.
Just running away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And deck crew, like, briefed about it, and they don't take it that seriously because who would do that? Because it's super illogical because...
But it's actually
really serious.
Lots of places, like, I know, Hong Kong, a friend of mine went over there to see some friends and stuff like that and see how the nannies were living. You know, they're like living housekeepers, nannies, mm-hmm. and they've got a cupboard to sleep in. Like, very, oh my goodness. Very.
The horror stories are truly horrific. Like, employers who look after their nanny's passport, and then unfortunately, she or he, mostly she, never earns enough to earn her passport back.
And or get a flight home or whatever.
Yeah, she totally can't afford that. And in a far fetched part of the world where, yeah, these aren't options.
No.
It's really, really sad. It needs to be massive change.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there was one nanny in particular, and she just looked miserable. And I kept trying to talk to her and chat, and just like, no, not. She could speak. She could speak perfect English, but she was, you could tell that there was, I don't know, something not quite right with it all. But different nationalities treat different people differently. What is a British culture, and a lot of obviously the crew are a lot very westernized most of the time. What we take as normal is not normal to a lot
for
of nationalities. A flight risk. I didn't actually think about that. I suppose if you are,
I've somewhere. Heard quite a few cases. Okay, not quite a few, but enough for it to be seriously concerning. That
they just run off
with nothing. And so then, what are you, a refugee, an asylum seeker?
They're just probably trying to get home, one would think.
But without a passport or money or a...
It's better, this is like, because otherwise you're just going to get on a flight and go back to whatever prison you were living in. So there is a different side to it. You know, obviously not your personal experience. I mean, what have you been, dealing with little ones can be beautiful.
Very rewarding. It can also be chaotic.
Could you... to highlight any like memorable special moments you've experienced that have been quite cool as a nanny?
Oh, there's been like some super cool ones, and then it makes me just realise how much I really love what I do. And so like, you know, I'm going to the beach clubs and to these restaurants and to all these attractions or historical sites with the families, and it is just amazing. Like, I did the Acropolis with one family on a private tour, and that was super cool because you learn about it in a totally different way. Mm. Also, in a child-friendly way, which makes it quite fun.
Amazing.
I jet-skied through the Farag Leone rocks in Capri with security and one of my charges. And we just stopped to look at all the bat caves and admire them. And, yeah, this child was an absolute awe. And, I mean, it was... magic. But then like what always kind of gets me on most charters is like it's a yachting charter, it's gonna be a treasure hunt because that's what we do, and when all the crew get involved it is so much fun.
Aww.
Like when the captain gets chained up and that happens, and
it's all like a full-on performance.
It is. And then I did one a little while ago, and they even had parrots, those little parrot toys that talk back at you. And it was the funniest thing because no one could figure out how they had it happening.
Wow.
Really amazing.
Do you say like the kids, that is like a trip of a lifetime for children?
I mean, I have a lot of children who are going on charters every summer. But there's still those moments that it's like, wow, this is so exciting. And they are besides themselves with how to contain it. It is just so much fun.
So, I think from a kid's perspective, that boats are, from my perspective, like, boats can be quite boring. They're not very big. Like,
when the weather's bad, it can be tough. Yeah. You know, I did a charter with four boys and it was really awful weather. And that was like pushing me to my limits of creativity and how to entertain them on a new build.
How old are they?
Between 4 and 12.
Right.
So quite a big age gap, really different interests. Don't just want to play on PlayStation all day, but equally...
also a lot of energy that they probably need to burn off.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And we weren't going ashore because it was such bad weather.
Oh no!
So we couldn't even like go to a playground or kick a football around. Yeah, that was tricky. And just talking about another really cool charter experience was, I did one and then we had a barge come out and give us a private fireworks display, and the last the last fireworks were of the family's initials in a heart.
Oh,
and it was like, no way. Like, these are super privileged children that are exposed to a lot. And they were all like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. They've got their popcorn on their sweetie sitting on bean bags on the sun deck. And it's like, yeah, this is really cool.
So obviously, you know, they are on holiday. It's all fun. But a family's bothered about education. They want it to be, you know, you are going to some exotic places. So there is an opportunity for them to learn about where they are, not just, you know, get a bucket and spade and throw them on the beach kind of thing.
Yeah, completely. I'm hardly ever asked to do actual homework, but sometimes the governess will leave work for me. Also, I never get handover notes, so if I do get something, it's normally from a governess on homework stuff, which I'm very happy to do. But otherwise, try and do daily reading and then really like expose them to the geography and history of where we're going. Let's talk about fish, let's talk about for example, in the, interesting about the Faraglioni Rocks, there was, I can't remember how long ago it was, but dinosaurs used to live on there, and a really special type of dinosaur. We like dinosaurs, that's a cool thing to know about. Then if they're a bit older, we can talk about the type of rocks that there are, and why the water's like this, and, you know, why is it windy before it rains? Because the clouds are pushing the air out the way.
You're trying to educate me right now.
Well, I don't know, I'm educating anybody.
I didn't know that, thank you.
Nobody knows it. And it's actually quite interesting. And it's like kind of a fun fact. And then they go, oh, mummy, did you know this? Ella told me this. And it's like, So it's not direct education, but it is covering...
And it was more fun education. Like, yeah. There's no pressure on it. You're just, you know, experiencing the education.
Exactly. And... Well, and I really like to read with kids, but there's hardly ever books on board, and also books are heavy, so I can't bring that many myself.
Well, books, there's nice like coffee table books that
not
cost
really
a fortune,
like,
and they're not going to be very interesting for kids.
There's no Ruffalo or Roald Dahl.
Oh, no.
Or, yeah, yeah.
You've
so
got
I try
a
and
neat
read...
stick man somewhere. No.
I know. Oh, man. But yeah, I try and do what I can.
I actually read Superworm last night to my daughter.
Oh, good book.
Yeah, she likes. She loves all of the Julia Donaldson and Axel. We've got the whole collection.
I can never say her surname. Schaefer.
Very, very good.
Did you know, in every Julia Donaldson and Axel Schaefer book, there's a hidden Gruffalo?
No.
Yeah, in the illustrations.
Ooh.
That's a good thing to look out for.
That is a good thing to think. Yeah. See, give me tips to entertain my own child. So obviously you're on board... How does the dynamic with the parents work? You know, like, is it, you know, depending on the parents, how involved they are in the kids' activities? You know, how do you manage that relationship?
It's a very interesting one, and it's never, ever the same. It's always super unique. Some parents are quite unsure about being on board with their children, and so they look to me for encouragement or advice on, oh, what do you think if they do that? Or do you think they're old enough to go jet skiing? Or, you know, can we do this with them? And I've done most of these things before, so I can give some actual advice. Some are very much of the opinion, I'm on holiday, you're here, you have a great time with them, and I'll see them when I see them. There's like
just
everything
depends.
In between, but they're also very intimate relations. Normally I'm doing bath time with the kids, one parent's in a shower, one person's getting changed and doing their makeup, and then I'm overhearing things about like the plans for tomorrow, and so obviously completely respecting privacy. But if there's information that I could pass on to crew, like, oh, the guests are considering to go here to this beach club tomorrow instead of going to Nikki Beach, that's information that I could pass on to the chief stew that then
they can
just
preempt, yeah.
Exactly. So it just takes that guest experience level to like from good to great, and yeah, it's all about that, isn't it?
So you've seen loads of naked guests.
Yeah. A lot.
You're so lucky. Well, I suppose it is, you are brought into the inner circle of a family. It's the closest
and
most intimate.
I think bedtime especially is like a really important bonding time with the family, and so to create those family moments and to know when to be a fly on the wall and to know when to pop out to get something so they can have some time, but also to pop back in when they're, you know, needing me to take children off their hands is definitely a hidden art, and it took me a little bit of time to learn. because you can't actually be a fly on a wall on a boat, because you're either in the cabin or you're out the cabin. You can't be halfway.
No.
And you also can't hear really well through the doors as the wind.
I was gonna say,
especially if you're underway.
Very soundproof.
Yeah. So it's a lot of gut feeling on things like that, but it normally works out.
Have you worked for different nationalities? Would you say you've worked?
I actually wouldn't say I have compared to a lot of nannies. I have, most of my clients are British, American or European. And I know other nannies that like specialise in Russian clients, or especially nannies, male nannies often work for Russian clients.
Really?
Yeah, which is really cool. And I tell you what, on board, there should be more male nannies, because one, I know some really great ones, and two, the different dynamic they bring, especially for older boys. I know, like,
I bet that would be
like 9 to 13. It's a totally different dynamic, and I think it's really fun, and everybody could enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't. Are there a lot of nannies around?
There's not that many, but when they are about, they are great. They're like really, really great, and it's funny because it's such a perceived female career.
Yeah,
but.
No. It makes total sense. You're saying, like, through the young years, you know, obviously a normal nanny, but then, like you said, a confined space with a whole bunch of boys, to have a nanny would probably be
totally change the dynamic. And yeah, what I've seen it work, it's worked fantastically. Yeah.
So you're just mainly American, and is there a difference? Would you say Brits and Americans are very similar or different to work for?
Definitely some differences, but nothing chaotic.
Not too dramatic.
No, nothing.
It'd be quite interesting. Well, I know that
it's more, I just don't fly. If they're British or European, I'll fly with them often. I'll fly to their residence and then we'll fly privately to the yacht. But if they're American, I'll meet them at the yacht.
It's a hard life, though.
It's very. Do you know what? Private chats is an interesting one, because it was very exciting when I first started it, and now it's, you know, can't say the glamour's worn off because it is still very fun, but you realise it's a really small space and it's really tricky because there is so much excitement on board. And yeah, it's an interesting dynamic on board.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it's got better for, you know, nannies as a whole on board? You know, the crews are getting better to work with them, or. Now you're providing more information on.
I can never remember how long I've been doing this. Been in yachting, I think, 10 years, and as a nanny, 8, I think. And then only last year did I start my company, Super Yacht Nanny, and actually offering coaching and consulting and guides and masterclasses and things. Sorry, what's your question?
Well, let's go into, like, say, for an aspiring, you know, nannies, if there's some stews out there that have actually got some experience maybe with children, done it in, like, a higher education,
yeah,
or might not even be on board yet, what would you say are a few advice tips that you should perhaps consider before jumping on?
Get ultra-high net worth experience and travel nanny experience. These are the two biggest things that clients want to see, because if you can hack these things, you can kind of hack working on board.
Okay, so explain both of those.
So UHNW, ultra high net worth, is what clients get referred to. So that means, like, working, I don't really like to put monetary value on it because everyone argues about how much it is to be UHNW, but like fully staffed households, residences all over the world, and working in a team, and like a high caliber, fast paced job. And yeah, it's nannying to the top level. And then travel nannying is kind of what it says on the tin. Traveling with your nanny family.
Is it essential, would you say, if you haven't got that experience, or that's just going to make your life?
No,
would you struggle to even get a job if you haven't had it?
I would say, yeah. When people are hiring for these jobs, they're a lot more interested to see the childcare experience than the onboard experience, because
right,
that the onboard stuff can be taught quite easily, but the actual experience of preempting, like, what these kind of people are likely to do, like, they say, okay, we're going to the tennis club, realistically they're not going to the tennis club, they're going to see the horses. And so it's like how you read them to know that kind of thing, or what kind of things are expected of children going to these top schools academically or extracurricular.
So you need that kind of base knowledge.
Yeah.
And then also, is there a trust element as well? Like, these people have, you know, a lot of money.
Massively. And so references are so, so important. Like, it's great to have telephone references, but also written references are really important. I feel like I'm preaching to the crowd here, because everyone in your team knows how important references are, but it's not perceived the same in childcare. And that, obviously, certifications are fantastic. To be on board, like how I'm on board freelancing, you don't need to have an SCCW because you are supernumero and you're on the guest list.
Right, okay.
But yeah.
So how do you build, you know, would you say, which is the quickest way to build rapport with your parents and your children? Or is it just trying to read them as quickly as possible?
Prove to them how trustworthy you are, and like really be there for them when they need you. Be honest, like tell the truth to the children, because obviously they don't need to know the full truth about everything because things are complicated, but they're used to hearing a lot of white lies and things, and actually they find it refreshing to know, okay, she says this and that's actually what's going to happen, and I don't need to worry about things.
Being honest.
Trust is really important, and explaining like, okay, cool, we can't do this on board because it's different to being on land because of X, Y, and Z. But that kind of explanation makes them feel like, oh, you do know what you're doing, and you will keep me safe, and it will be okay, and okay, we can't do this, but we can do that instead. Normally, going on a side of a yacht trumps quite a few things.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. What does it say? What are some of the misconceptions of the role of a CPR nanny?
Oh, I just go on.
How would we address these?
According to a lot of people, I go on holiday.
Oh, wow.
With really rich families, really often. And it's like, oh gosh, I wish I could do that. And actually, I work massively long 16-hour days. I report directly to the principals. I am super organised.
Pressure.
It's really high pressure, really high stakes. There is no room for any muck-ups. And, yeah.
Well, you're actually looking after the most precious thing that they probably possess.
I hope it's their most precious thing. If it was mine, it would definitely be my most precious thing. But, yeah, so everyone thinks that I just go on holiday with people, but I don't. Oh, I also apparently get a lot of spa treatments. I get a lot of massages. I always get my nails done on board.
Do you?
No, I've not had a single spa treatment on board, because you can't be getting a treatment and when you should be looking after the children. And then, I don't know, the mother would like to get a treatment. Oh, sorry, the nanny's in there. It's not the look you want to be conveying.
What time are you going to go to the spa, like, when the children have gone to bed? I'm pretty sure the spa ladies will be like, what?
Nah. That's not happening. That I could just come on board and be a diva. I could just suddenly decide to be gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan who likes eating caviar and I actually eat everything. But I don't go, like, there's a lot that I could just go on board and order anything I want and do any kind of crazy thing that I'd like. That's not the case.
The misconception is not like there's a lot around the industry as a whole
that it's like,
you know, it's just like below deck. But I've been in conversations. I always go back to this one conversation where I was having with some people that lived on land. We were talking about having tough times, and it's like, well, when I was in Monaco, like, I had this really hellish time, and they were like,
in Monaco? You had a bad time in Monaco?
What do you mean you had a bad time in Monaco? Like, surely you were drinking Aperol Spritz off the back of the yacht. I'm like, no, I was crying. You know that the people that work on there aren't the ones drinking, you know,
they're
the champagne
it.
On... Yeah. They served that in between crying because they haven't been to bed for 19 hours. You know, it's interesting to see. I think below deck, I've changed my view on it a little. It does give a more realistic, although I found it very stressful to watch the episodes. I was like freaking out. As the chief stew inside me was actually having a mild heart attack.
Oh, goodness.
It was quite painful to watch at times. I'm like, ah! Oh, they're doing it like like that. But I have changed it because it, in some respect, it's not the what I would say would be the real experience, mm-hmm. but it's very close. You know, a lot of that stuff does happen. The guests aren't quite as crazy as some of the below deck people, but I have to say, it does give you an insight into a little bit of what the industry...
Oh, that's also a good thing to say about how crazy guests are. And people think I go on, like, these crazy rampages with guests. This is a family charter we're talking about. They know they have their children there. The crazy thing... super crazy things aren't happening on the boat with the children.
No. They have a chase boat for that.
Exactly. They're running the next bay.
They've got a chase boat. Exactly. The principal would like, all right, anyway, I'm going to go and...
I'm just going to pop out for a little
bit. I'm going to go and see, make sure everything's okay on the boat.
I've never had a charter like that. But also talking about below deck, I've worked as a nanny on yachts that have had crew from below deck.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really surprised because I feel like there's... in the industry a real feeling that it's career suicide to go on below deck.
I'm not convinced either
because who I worked with was fantastic, exceptionally good at their job, from what I saw, completely non-dramatic, really great team player, really fantastic all-rounder.
I concur. We spoke to Daisy, who was on Super Below Deck Sailing. And I don't think it's career suicide. It's just an experience, you know. And ultimately, the industry doesn't have a lot of drama queens. If you can make it on boats, you're not going to be probably a drama queen because they don't last. No. You know, it's like the ones that can't handle the pressure, they don't last.
They kind of drop and ball off planes.
It's a really interesting story about when we were in San Remo. But no, they don't last. So yeah, I kind of changed my opinion on below deck a little bit. I'm just like,
cool.
Yeah, you know, it's not career suicide. You know, if they still want to do it, you know, and the industry is incredible because if you're determined and you want to do a good job and you're passionate about the industry, you'll get a job.
And you're a yes person and you're a people person.
I mean, you're all right to be around and, you know, you can drink Whispering Angel like it's water. You'll be fine.
Well, I wouldn't know.
Well, you wouldn't know. Maybe in the previous, before nanny years.
Yes, you can't drink when you're nanny on board. But
obviously.
As we shouldn't. But
in between you make up for it.
In between, it's okay.
In between you make up for it. So we'll not go into that. Right. Getting out. You've been doing it for 10 years in total.
Yeah.
8 years as a nanny.
Yeah.
And then you're a nanny on board, but you've come up with an amazing idea. What is this idea?
Well, basically, I got bored of going to cafes and bars and people picking my brains and not even buying me a drink. So I decided on how to become a super yacht nanny. So I decided to do it properly. I set up the company Super Yacht Nanny, the destination for all things childcare on board. And I love that. I love it so much. And I've created like a community. So I offer coaching, consulting, digital guides.
So before this idea, what was your plan? Like, what were you thinking? Like, after yachting, you were possibly going to do what?
Oh, it wasn't planned.
I didn't get that far.
Because I really love being on board, so I don't feel like it's...
It was going to come to an end ever?
I hadn't thought of that far, I don't think. But I was very conscious that it's not sustainable year-round.
Right.
So I need other things to make life work.
So you wouldn't take an in-between? You only do the trip, short trips rather than staying on board a vessel and, you know, doing full rotation?
Yeah, because I had other things in life happening that Well, yes, I've got a dog.
So there is
some balance with not reality, which I think is super important because otherwise you can get a bit carried away, or I can get a bit...
Well, that's amazing that they're nannying actually offers you to create balance, because obviously most ladies on board,
Balance doesn't really exist in yachting. So yeah, I find it really important to make balance for myself. So like I won't book trips too close together because I know I actually need to reset myself to be like the best possible nanny. And I also like working with other people. It's sometimes nice to have a grown-up conversation with someone and I can help them in a different way than just having children. And yeah, there's only so much.
So you never had a plan? Like, the idea was the first time you were thinking about maybe an exit, you know?
That makes me sound like I fly by my pants or something.
No, it's really common. It's really common.
Yeah, I don't... Because I didn't really have a need to, because I love what I do.
You weren't at the age yet to start thinking about, right, what am I going to do? But then I suppose if your job gave you balance quite, you know, I suppose in the... where you're close to having rotation, you know, the very rare roles out there, you know, you know, that's the dream for most people nowadays is to have rotation. I know that when I worked on board,
didn't exist.
You know, there was very, you know, it was only really for captains and lucky first officers. And I think the industry is probably recognising that.
Perhaps you have better crew.
Don't. You know, make them stay on board for like 9 months at a time. It's quite intense. So being a nanny's actually offered you more balance faster than normal positions on board.
I completely think so, yeah. And it means I can also take other temp roles throughout the year, and then I can have my repeat clients that maybe need childcare help because their normal nanny's sick in October or something, and I can still, you know, do things like that.
So obviously you've just highlighted a little bit about the company. So you're offering, what are you offering for the CPF nanny?
Basically, I'm on a mission to make family charters better for everybody involved, because I've seen how it can go wrong and I've seen how well it can go incredibly well if things are like done in the right way and the little details are like, it's really like dotting your I's and crossing your T's kind of details. And then it makes things super incredible and everyone goes, wow, that was amazing. And so if I can be the one that offers that kind of support, yeah, I love it. So, yeah, I don't know. If you're a stew that has family charters coming up and you don't know how to, you've never hosted a treasure hunt before, or you don't know what you need to have on board, or do I need to have, like, signs on the doors for when it's nap time? All these little details, that's kind of where I fit in and support. So I also do nanny referrals. If you do need childcare support on board, I can definitely help you. But also, yeah, there's lots of little bits that I can help with. So
And nobody was offering it before?
No. There's some really great nanny coaches and consultants for like high net worth families, but nothing
specific
in yachting. Yeah, nothing specific in yachting. So found my little funny little niche.
So what would you say the main benefits are? So if you're talking to a chief stew right now and she knows that she's got four kids coming on, what would you say that the main benefits of like contacting you and getting some advice would be?
Yeah, because you get tips like make super clear boundaries, do not let them in the crew mess, because it becomes chaos. You will then have a first officer woken up when they shouldn't have been woken up, when they're on break, and everyone will know about it because it won't be very
happy. So kids go off exploring and
yeah, and then they find out because somebody shows them where the snack cupboard is, and then they're always in the crew mess in the snack cupboard, and then some poor stewardess has to then change the snack cupboard to somewhere else that they don't know about, and it becomes this whole palaver. So if you set like really clear boundaries,
it turns into a treasure hunt.
literally, because that's their favourite kind of treasure. It's kind of going through all of their nerves or things they're not too sure about, or, you know, what do they need on board, or which beach clubs in this area are the most child friendly, or we need this, where can we source this from, or why is my baby monitor not working? And I actually don't know how true this is, but I feel like it is true. You know, the standard kind of baby monitors that just have sound?
Yep.
They don't work on the Dutch and German built boats normally because they have so much more metal in them.
Wow.
The signal interferes, so you're much better off with an app-based monitor. which is also a lot easier, because everyone can have it on their phone that needs it. And like those community tales, they cause havoc if you haven't got the right monitor set up, because either a nanny's awake or a crew member's awake, or
yeah.
It's just a faff. So
can you give us one tip for a Chief Stew on how to communicate with a nanny? It's quite important.
Yeah,
that a Chief Stew and a nanny get on, and get obviously clear communication, obviously, but any kind of,
give them a briefing. If they've never been on board before,
give them an individual briefing.
Tell them, like, this is how we kind of do things, this is what's expected, like, this is how things go, you're welcome to come and eat down here, you can do all of this kind of stuff, we're here to help you. Have a WhatsApp group with them so that, you know, if they need something or you need them to do something, it will get sorted out quickly and easily.
Communicate.
Yeah, communicate clearly and properly, and don't beat around the bush.
As they're a member of staff, not a guest, would you say? Or it has to be that weird.
It also depends if they're a freelancer or if they're with the family full time. Because if they're with the family full time, I feel like it's more of a guest experience, but not quite. But they often will then know a lot more on what to expect from the guests. So super handy to get them on board on side. But as a freelancer, they're also flying blind a bit.
Right. What about they don't know the family?
Yeah, and they don't. We don't get handover notes.
Okay. With the responsibility of the children, would you advise that not to take, you know, obviously their general safety, but no responsibility for the children? The nannies, that's what the nanny's there for.
Exactly,
right?
That's what the nanny's there for. And like, if there's an emergency and we need to go to the muster station, it's the nanny's responsibility to bring them there. I think that kind of sets the tone of
that this is
your job, like, you are there for them.
Okay, so you've got a company.
Yeah.
You know, so what's the plan in the next 5 years? Like, where do you see you and Super Yacht Nanny in the future?
Growing to become more recognised as the destination for all things childcare on board, but also to go into more related services, because there are so many things, like, even from my experiences of being on private jets, there's so many other areas that these skills and level of service cross over into these kind of lifestyles that, yeah, there's opportunity to grow.
Will you have your own bank of nannies that you're...
I already do.
You already do?
Yeah.
So how many you've got?
I've got loads. I have got the coolest nannies. Well, nannies and mannies. I've got, you know, Norland? Mm-hmm. Norland's, for those who don't know, Norland is a childcare university based in Bath, and that's like where the royal family get their nannies from, and it's very prestigious. NNEB, maternity nurses, the whole shebang, like lifeguard nannies, yeah, really cool educators. I've also got a free Facebook group called Super Yacht Nanny. I'm not very imaginative with my naming of things, but it works. And so that's like a really nice space, and there feels like there's a real community growing in there.
Yeah. So in 5 years' time, you know, offices, will you be still going?
I'll have my office in Monaco.
Will you be going on trips still, or not?
I think so, yeah, I hope so. I love it, I really love it.
So maybe one or two a year, rather than...
I'll cherry pick my favourite clients.
Well, you know...
Because, when you interview for these jobs, it's very much, you're interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you, so it doesn't feel like the right fit. It's not the right fit, maybe. So I'll just, you know, narrow my criteria.
Just going off subject a little bit. So, like, do you have winter nannies and summer holiday nannies? Like, chalet nannies?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you have to go skiing with the kids?
I've done some ski trips, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's really fun. But also a lot of, if you're staying in a resort, a lot of the resorts will have creches and things, but ski nannies are very much a thing, yeah.
Awesome. Sounds awful. I'd be well up for it if there's probably less of the kid thing. You know, who would actually...
Oh, you've got to really like kids. Yeah, that's kind of a...
I like my own. I don't know. When I have to try and entertain more than one, it gets a bit stressful for me.
It gets tricky when they're from different families and quite different ages because you're, like, I don't know, herding cats.
They're constantly trying to kill themselves in various ways.
In various ways.
So, obviously, looking at the super yacht industry, you love the industry. Have you noticed any positive changes for, like, women in general in the industry recently?
Yes, there is definitely, like, there is more good things happening. There is, like, more awareness. There's more opportunities to speak out about things. Even... I always like this as an example, the Facebook group Yachty's Name and Shame. Mm. I think that's actually a really good resource because whenever I take a job now, I will search the boat up to see, like, oh, is there drama on here? Or is there things that I don't want to be involved in here that are publicly being talked about? Because, yeah, I don't want to be involved in things like that. Mm-hmm. But there's also more official things happening, which is, yeah, great to see and much needed. And then in terms of other good things in the industry, I think there's a lot more sustainable innovations happening, which is, yeah, also very much needed because yachting and sustainability don't really go hand in hand.
I don't know whether they're ever really going to go very well hand in hand. It's going to get better than it was. I think that's probably all anybody can hope for, you know, because by nature they're not sustainable.
And sustainability is a roadmap. Like, it's not a direct...
No. If you can not pollute is probably, you know, a good starting place.
I worked for a... I've had a client that was only... Okay, I can't say it like that.
What... Obviously, being a stewardess and then being a stew nanny, what do you think... And now taking those skills also on land, we're talking about the stew side, not obviously the kids side. Do you think you learned anything that's been really handy with this transfer? Because obviously when you become a yachty, you are kind of conditioned in a way. You know, the routine and everything has a profound effect on a lot of people, let alone the travel and getting used to going new places. Is there anything that you can highlight that you brought with you when you kind of, you're more land-based, I would say,
definitely more land-based, definitely. To stand my ground, and which is, I think, quite a funny thing to say when yachting's such a yes industry and will do anything to make things happen. But also, like, if you have to discuss slash argue with a taxi driver in Naples and they're trying to charge you a ridiculous amount to get, what's the port called that we all, by Naples that we all go to? You know it's €60. I've checked it online and I've been there 2 weeks ago and it was €60 and now they're trying to charge me €300. I will firmly stand my ground. And like to stand your ground respectfully, professionally, but also not, yeah.
I think, does that mean it has added to your success? Because you've made it very clear, like with clients, the boat, you know, standing your ground.
And boundaries.
It's not like butting heads, it's just, this is where I'm at, this is where I go to, that's it kind of thing.
Like, even so then an example of how that's related to business, I then had all people requesting discovery calls with me, and they were on topics that I can't help with, like immigration law. I'm not an immigration lawyer, I cannot advise about that.
Or importing nannies from other places.
Working illegally in places.
Oh, God.
Yes, that's not what I help with. I'm not involved in that. I don't want to be involved in it, and I can't help you with visas. So, like, you know, you now have to answer questions as to why you want to talk to me. If you say that, yeah, cool, that's my boundary. I cannot help you with that. Well, making them ask me is my boundary, if that makes sense.
Well, it helps.
It saves them time and saves me time. So. Yeah.
So, you know, if I need a visa, I'm not to come to you.
No, don't come to you. If you need a visa, I am not your girl.
Can you just sneak me into here, you know? Surely you've got the connections.
That's actually quite funny because everyone's like, oh, Ella, I'll just come in your suitcase. And I'm like, you don't think I've got one suitcase of my clothes because I don't normally wear a uniform on board and another suitcase full of kids' provisions? I don't think you're going to fit, babe.
And what are you going to do while I'm working?
All my spa treatments.
list of spa treatments.
Yes, oh, I can't wait. My hair, my nails, my massages, my Indian foot massage, or whatever.
So, obviously, you work with kids. Are kids on the horizon? You know,
I'm not sure.
What do you mean you're not sure?
I'm solidly not sure.
As in, you haven't met the right person to reproduce with?
I don't think it's even that. I just think I love them to pieces. Really, I love children, but I'm not sure right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
I know, like, because I can see, great side of it, but I can also see how tough it is.
So it's like yachting. The only way I can describe it, having a child myself, it's basically like if you could imagine a Russian charter guest that never gets off, it does like a stupid extended stay, and just has people just come in and they party all the time and they eat all the time and they're just really demanding and they never tip.
Ooh.
But you love them. You can't not love them. So it's just like, they're just very demanding, but they're very cute. It's just the weirdest experience.
And they need you.
They need you. But so, obviously, we're coming towards the end. Do you have any, can you tell any crazy stories?
Oh, I have too many crazy stories. nothing I can share like this. I feel like I already mentioned a few, like going through the Faraday Uni Rocks on a jet ski with security, and the most incredible little charge was super cool. Just the realisation that it's my job to play Ministry of Silly Jumps off a swim platform of an 80 metre super yacht. It's like, yeah, cool, this is amazing. What else? Like, there's been some wow moments and things have happened that I totally was not expecting, or, you know, things get sale, they do, it's just like, that was not how I thought that was going to happen. But okay, we're going to roll with it, yeah. Really crazy things happen, yeah.
So, I look forward to the book.
Yes, you may be published it when you I need one.
it's a crazy world. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate you telling your story. And also, you know, you are an educator now. You're educating other ladies. And I think after hearing you, they probably would maybe consider looking after little ones on a thing that's trying to sink in the ocean.
Yeah. So if you're interested, my website is superyachtnanny.co, and on Instagram I'm superyachtnanny.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. It's been an honour to chat. Thanks, Therese.